Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. Well, folks, you know what that sound means. It is just after 4 o'clock, and you are tuned in to Everything Under the Sun, the Sopra Sun's weekly radio program, right here on KDNK. I'm your host, James Steinler, and there is a fresh 28-page paper that's hit the newsstands and waiting for your gaze. And we're going to talk about the front page story, Teamwork Makes the Dream Work. We have a couple guests from Worldliness Workshop with us today, as well as my two co-hosts, Yesenia Benavides. Hello, Yesenia.
Hello.
And
Gus Richardson. Hello.
Gus Richardson. Thank you both so much for joining me again this week. And also, we're going to do a little bit of talking up KDNK here in a little bit, but just want to say how grateful we are for KDNK for providing a half an hour every week for us to highlight the newspaper every Thursday at 4 o'clock. And if you haven't already, become a member. You can go online to kdnk.org or call the station at 970-963-0139 and become a member today. All right. Let's see if we have our telephone guest on the line. Are you there, Peter? Oh. Peter? We'll get Peter on the line here. Meanwhile, let's introduce our other guests. We have with us Mr. Will Rausch. Am I saying that right, Will?
Exactly right.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us again today, Will. And congratulations for all of the hard work that's paid off, at least for the next 20 years.
Yeah, let's raise a glass, and the congratulations go to, you know, everybody who's pitched in over the past, gosh, it's been pretty much two decades to make this 20-year protection of the Thompson Divide a reality. So congrats to everyone who's listening.
Absolutely. And there are a lot of people recently, what was it, just a couple days after the administrative withdrawal was announced by the federal government, the Department of Interior, you all got together and celebrated at Carbondale Beer Works.
That's right, and that's the the front page you're referencing on the Sopra Sun. Probably 40 or 50 folks or so gathered at Beer Works to raise a glass, share some stories about the work that they and others had done over the years to protect the Thompson Divide. So we'll have more celebrations to come. Our community party the first Friday in June on the 7th will be a really big celebration, but I know so many folks in the community are riding high from this announcement.
Fantastic. Well, it certainly seemed like it was quite a party. Huge reason to celebrate. It's been, almost two decades that Worldliness Workshop has been doing this work, and, you know, several years of people enjoying the natural beauty of the Thompson Divide. Yesenia, did you have a question for Will to start us off?
Yes. How long have you been with the Wilderness Workshop?
You know, I started doing work for Wilderness Workshop in 2010, and pretty quickly after that, you know, started working with community members and other folks at the organization to protect the Thompson Divide.
Thank you. To follow up, what does the Thompson Divide mean to you?
You know, the Thompson Divide is, in a lot of ways, it's kind of the classic Colorado backcountry. So it means a place that it provides really important wildlife habitat. It provides incredible opportunities for recreation and kind of the, you know, maybe lower key recreation than you might often see in the Roaring Fork Valley. So there's no 14,000 foot peaks. There's no trailheads that have parking lots with 200 people in them, but there is, wonderful hiking, snowmobiling, mountain biking. There's great car camping. You can kind of go out into the Thompson Divide and lose yourself, explore, find new places. But probably more than anything, it means to me, it's a place that, you know, still exists in its relatively wild state. It provides really important lower elevation, which means more kind of ecologically vibrant and rich wildlife habitat. It's the one place that I've ever seen a mountain lion in the wild.
Wow.
It's, you know, there's huge herds of elk up there, native Colorado cutthroat trout. So it means an intact functioning ecosystem. And I suppose it also means a place that's pulled our community together. You know, people from all walks of life came together, set aside their differences to work to protect this place. So I think it's a kind of a testament to the power of a place to speak to a community and to give something to that community.
Awesome. Thank you, Will. And I think we do have Peter with us on the line. Peter, are you there?
Yep. How are you doing?
Doing really great. Thank you so much again for joining us. So let's ask you the same question, Peter. And I know there's a preview in the article as to when you started for Wilderness Workshop, but would you tell our listeners when you started for Wilderness Workshop and what the Thompson Divide means to you?
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, so I started for Wilderness Workshop in February of 2007. And actually, shortly after I kind of walked in the door, Thompson Divide was really heating up. So this became, you know, sort of became a project that I have had the pleasure of working on since then. And what does the place mean to me? I think Will described very, very well, you know, what it means, to most of us. You know, it's a rich mid-elevation landscape that still retains its natural character, you know. So it, unlike so many other lower and mid-elevation areas in Colorado that have been, dramatically changed by development and human use, this place has remain predominantly roadless, you know, and it's like, you know, these vast expanses of aspen forests and these, small creeks, running out of the highlands, but fantastic habitat. It feels like what much of Colorado probably felt like 100 years ago.
And it's right out our back door. I mean, how lucky are we, right, to be able to have access to that and to also have the ear of the federal government from all these different interest groups. Can I actually ask you that as well, Peter, just because, and both of you have been around Wilderness Workshop for a while, it sounds like. But and so if either of you want to answer this, but how is it working with people and like we say in the article, Democrats, Republicans, snowmobilers, enviros, that did not make it in the article, but I know that's a term that Peter used. How is it working with all of these different people from different walks of life? How has that been? Has there been much disagreement or as to what people want for the Thompson Divide, or is that just unanimous?
Yeah, go for it, Peter. You have, you were part of that formation of the Thompson Divide Coalition and broader group of folks who came together in the beginning.
Yeah, you bet. I mean, I think, public land issues, public lands in Western Colorado are sort of the lifeblood of our lives, basically. I mean, the traditional agricultural community relies on these lands to graze their cattle in the summer. Those of us who are not, cattlemen and ranchers, sort of live in these areas so that we can get out and enjoy nature and wildlife, whether it's recreating or whether it's hunting and fishing. And then so many local businesses rely upon, those benefits, whether it's those traditional Western activities and, vocations, or whether it's, you know, the sort of the New West and our sort of recreation and amenity-based economies. But, you know, as a result, you know, because these public lands are so important to all of us, public land issues can be really divisive. And Thompson Divide is unique in that, you know, this is one where people were able to put aside their differences and come together and advocate for, you know, a common goal. And so, you know, what has that meant to us? It's been a pleasure, and it's been an honor, and it's been, yeah, I'd say a refreshing change, you know, from so much of our work, which is pretty contentious, to be able to really feel like you're part of a broader community of people who may not agree on everything, but definitely agree on protecting this place.
I know it's mentioned in the article, but since could you again just say when this initiative to protect the Thompson Divide started, and also touch on how many wells existed at one point and compared to now, or sorry, not wells, but leases, oil and gas leases or mineral leases?
Will, you want me to take that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, so, you know, in interestingly, when we, you know, at the community party and celebration that happened at Beer Works last week, you know, Claire Bastable was there, and she in her remembrance, you know, she highlighted a poster, or a flyer, I guess, that dated back to 2004 or 2003, that she and Sloan had worked up to try to raise community awareness about some oil and gas leasing that was proposed to happen in the Thompson Divide. So I guess I tell that story because, you know, like, this effort really began before I came around in 2007. I think, you know, Sloan began working on this issue for Wilderness Workshop when the White River National Forest was revising its forest plan in the late 1990s. Mm-hmm. And they were out inventorying the forest on the ground, you know, to try and figure out, you know, what are the places that remain on this national forest with like extraordinary ecological values that are deserving of protection. And as part of that inventorying work, you know, they sort of, stumbled across, I don't know if that's the right phrase, but you know, they realized just how exceptional the Thompson Divide was for the natural values that it still retains, and at that point, you know, like, it became a priority for them to try and figure out how do we protect this place. Then subsequently, you know, the Bush administration really did go on a sort of a leasing frenzy in the early 2000s. And at that time, sold lots of oil and gas leases up in the Thompson Divide. By the time I showed up in 2007, there were already more than 80 oil and gas leases on the landscape. And we've worked for the last decade and a half to really cut that number down. Now there are less than 10 exploratory leases out there, in addition to 11 leases in a storage field, which from the get-go, folks in the Thompson Divide Coalition said, we have no interest in, you know, changing that. That facility is, it's an old oil and gas field that was, drained, and you know, they pump natural gas from further west in the Piance into that facility during the summer months, and then it's used to basically keep the lights on in the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys during the winter time.
That's great, and I remember you mentioning that. And for anyone who just like drives up to the Thompson Creek and further up, and up over it, I guess 4 Mile, you'll see that the Wolf Creek facility. And I do want to, just for our listeners, you are tuned in to Everything Under the Sun, the Soapra Sun's weekly radio program right here on KDNK. This week we are speaking with Executive Director at Wilderness Workshop, Will Rausch, as well as Wilderness Workshop's attorney, Peter Hart, regarding the 20-year administrative mineral withdrawal that was just approved by the Department of Interior last week. Thank you again both for being with us. I also want to give a shout out to Sloan Shoemaker, who was also mentioned briefly in the article, but for all the work that he's done. And he was also the first full-time employee, I believe, at Wilderness Workshop. So shout out, Sloan. Gus, did you have a question?
I did. Since that you just reminded our listeners about this federal decision, I'd like to ask a question about said federal decision. Is the federal government getting involved like this as big of a deal as it seems?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say it is. There's not a lot of mineral withdrawals that administration enacts in its term, and it takes a lot of work to even to convince them to look at that option, which is what happened. So about 2 years ago, President Biden came out to Colorado, established the Camp Hale Continental Divide National Monument, and then at the same time said, you know, we're also going to start a process to consider this 20-year mineral withdrawal, which is essentially a moratorium on new oil and gas leases. And it doesn't happen every day. It's a big action for the federal government to take, and I think it really reflects all those years of work that the community has put into it. You know, this recent decision happened following just a kind of a year and a half of analysis and public input, but to get to that point, you know, took a lot more. It took that coalition that Peter was talking about of ranchers and recreationalists and local governments and business owners to really make the case to the federal government that this was something they should engage in. So it's a big deal, and it's not, you know, the community wants permanent protection, so they want maybe an even bigger deal. They want Congress to enact a permanent moratorium on oil and gas leasing in the Thompson Divide. There's a bill in Congress, the CORE Act, that would do that. But this is a really big milestone and step towards that permanent protection.
And I guess a follow-up question would be, do you think that permanent protection is coming?
I do. If you ask me when, I'm maybe a little less certain. but, you know, there is such strong community support for it. The CORE Act is in different Congress has made it, you know, it's passed out of the House. It's made it through key Senate committee hearings and markups. So it's, you know, it's kind of about as close as you can get to becoming a bill without becoming a bill. And unfortunately, Congress is less than highly functional at the moment. But I, you know, this is a priority for our two senators, for Congressman Neguse, for the administration. Our governor supports it, as well as a host of local officials. So if you had to kind of say what does a bill that's got really good chances of passing look like, the CORE Act and the Thompson Divide protection would be one of those.
And I will just say, in terms of the public support and getting the federal government to turn their eyes on the Thompson Divide and to see what was happening, was because of the community. And I think a really demonstrative image is included on, I think, on page 18 of this week's Soapra Sun, of Leah Lindsay holding, and she's holding a newspaper from actually 2013, not 2023, where she was presenting BLM office manager Steve Bennett with a pile of letters of support and petitions to preserve the Thompson Divide.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great image, and it's a good example of, you know, kind of all the little pieces that come together, right? Leah had organized this wonderful group of students in the Valley to show their support, and then delivered the full community support. And there's just kind of a host of other moments like that. There's actually an old Soapra Sun cover that we recently reposted of
from
2011, even farther back, of, you know, tractors rolling down Main Street demonstrating the ranching community support for protecting the Thompson Divide. So it's all those little bits that, you know, help show our decision makers how the community really feels and how unified they've been in support of this special place.
You know, one thing to add there is that that Leah's story also speaks volumes to how long this has taken. Like, so when we first started engaging with Leah, when that picture was taken in 2013, she was a student at CRMS, and then she graduated from CRMS and she went to Colorado College. And while she was at Colorado College, she did a couple projects on the Thompson Divide. And then, you know, after that, came back and worked with us a little bit more on it. Now she works, like, we've had, like, a career, maybe, kind of, and, you know, multiple educational steps. And she's now, you know, working at EcoFlight. And working on Thompson Divide issues and providing a lot of value for this campaign. But, I mean, this campaign has been a lifetime, it seems like.
It really is neat in that now Leah's in the skies and showing people the Thompson Divide to continue the work for land preservation, as well as, of course, up the Crystal Valley and the Crystal River. So very cool how that's come around full circle. One thing that you noted during our conversation, and actually, you know, we only have a few minutes left, so I want to leave Yesenia, and I think it's a good question to end on, and I think it'll be reiterating some of what we might have already touched on, but go ahead, Yesenia.
Why is it important to preserve this Thompson Divide, the Thompson Divide?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I'll jump in, and then Peter, feel free to, you know, pick up. Probably a couple things. One, as we've talked about, it's this, you know, big expanse of lower elevation habitat that is increasingly rare in Colorado. Low elevation lands have many more animal species in them than are kind of higher, more often protected rock and ice type wilderness areas like the Maroon Bells. So it's, you know, it's a way to make sure that our ecological systems remain intact, that there's still space for animals to move into different habitats to survive. We know some of the really important habitat, like the valley bottoms in the Roaring Fork and Crystal Valleys, are taken up with human development. So having places like this is really key. But it's also really important for the communities, for the ranching community to have their grazing allotments, for the hunting and angling communities, the habitat for wildlife, and for all of us who, you know, call this place home, and visitors to have, you know, wild places to get away to and enjoy.
So, and I'm sorry, we have a few minutes left. Where do you go from here? What is Wilderness Workshop going to do? How involved will they be in terms of core legislation? If you would like to take that, Will or Peter?
Maybe briefly on the CORE Act. You know, we continue to work with our champions in Congress, especially Senator Bennett, to pass the CORE Act, of which he's the key sponsor. And, you know, just looking for any and every opportunity for when Congress does, you know, kind of get itself going and work to pass, you know, either this bill or a larger public lands package with, you know, similar pieces of legislation across the country. So we'll keep up our advocacy. We know many people in the community will do the same, writing letters to the editor, continuing to show that support to members of Congress. And then, as Peter mentioned, there are still a few oil and gas leases left up in the Thompson Divide. And Peter, I don't know if you want to briefly mention, you know, kind of what that work looks like to continue your decade and a half, you know, amazingly successful work of getting rid of those, you know, over 60 oil and gas leases.
Yeah, I mean, the short answer there is that we are going to, you know, we're going to continue to engage in, you know, BLM's management of those leases, and, you know, look for opportunities to push back on development.
Fantastic. Well, I think that's a great place to end it. But thank you guys, both you, Will, and Peter, for joining us today on Everything Under the Sun. Congratulations. Congratulations to all of the people who make up... Wrong theme music. To all the people who made up the Thompson Divide today, years past, and to the people who will pick up and continue that work going forward. We really appreciate you all joining us today. And if you want to find out more, listener, about the Thompson Divide Coalition, you can go to thompsondividecoalition.org.
I think so, and then wildernessworkshop.org also has a section on our website detailing all the work and where we are.
Perfect. So you heard it, wildernessworkshop.org, and you could be updated on this very important issue. Thank you, Will. Thank you, Peter, for joining us. Thank you for your work to protect the Thompson Divide. I think it's okay to say that on the air. thank you so much. And please, listener, donate to Katie and Kay. They are in their membership drive. Have a wonderful Thursday.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Katie and Kay.